Welcome to part 9 of our Bishul series, and tonight we're going to start a totally new topic, a totally new area of Hilchos Bishul, and that's going to be an introduction to the halachas of a blech and a hot plate, which certainly is very applicable to halacha l'maisa every week. But before we get to the new stuff, let's just review quickly what we did last week. Last week we spoke about the concern, the potential d'oraisa, the concern for accelerating bishul through stirring something, S-T-I-R-R-I-N-G. And we said that if something's not fully cooked and you stir it, you're enabling it to cook. So that would be nisa d'oraisa. We also saw that that would apply even after this non-fully cooked item was taken off the flame. Even though it's removed from the flame, if you stir it, if it's not fully cooked, that would still be nisa d'oraisa. And we saw an additional chumra d'rabbanan, that even if it's off the flame, if it's not yet fully cooked, you're not even allowed a spoon out of it, that would constitute an issur, albeit only an issur d'rabbanan. That's all regarding food that is not fully cooked. What about food that is fully cooked? Well, theoretically, nothing should be the problem, because once it's fully cooked, you could cook it again. Ein bishul acha bishul. Nevertheless, we saw the mysterious opinion of the Kolbo, who said that so long as an item is on a flame, you can never stir it. Why? We weren't really sure. We'll talk about that in a moment. So therefore, according to the Kolbo, as long as something's on the flame, even though it is already fully cooked, you're not allowed to stir it, and you're not even allowed to spoon out of it. And that's why we, of course, paskin, whenever you want to spoon out of something, you remove it from the flame, with, of course, all the intentions to return it, and other halachas of chazara that we will learn about in about 2 weeks and from now, and you put it back on. Just to review, what were the reasons, perhaps, for this mysterious opinion of the Kolbo? Why should you not be able to stir something if it's already cooked? After all, you're allowed to cook it or not again. What could possibly be wrong? We saw two opinions cited by Moshe Feinstein, and they will have a significant application, halacha l'maisa, with a kula that we'll see in a moment. A, perhaps the Kolbo was concerned that you shouldn't stir something even though it's fully cooked, because maybe there's some pocket that is not fully cooked. B, Ramosha brought an opinion that perhaps the concern is that when we say something is fully cooked, what does that really mean? It really means that al pi rov, generally, most of it is cooked, such that when you take a bite, it tastes fully cooked. That doesn't tell you that every little piece inside is really fully cooked. Just the majority is, or even the vast majority is fully cooked. So if your taste buds detect a fully cooked flavor, but perhaps again, say boils down to the same concern, perhaps there is a pocket here or there that is not fully cooked, and therefore we are concerned that through stirring, you will bring those less cooked parts of food closer to the heat, and they will cook more quickly. What comes out from those two concerns that might be the backup for the Kolbo is the following leniency that Ramosha Feinstein gave, which we finished last week's shiur from. If you have a food that is a complete liquid, it's a broth, consomme without any noodles, without any vegetables, without any chicken, just a clear broth, that will be permitted to stir even while it is on the fire. Because if something is nothing but a broth, but a consomme, a clear liquid, there is no concern for any area that is less or more cooked, because everything's equally cooked. It all moves around. That's just what liquids do. Finally, we saw another kula, that let's say you have a blech. We said that only the pots that are directly above the fire you're not allowed to stir or spoon from. But if it's on the blech off the fire, you can spoon from it, even though it's sitting on the blech. You don't have to lift it up. You can leave it on the blech, so long as it's not sitting directly above the airspace of the fire. And finally, the last kula that Rabbi Yashu suggested is that if you have this scenario where you have, let's say you have your stovetop with four stovetops, only one of them, let's say the back left corner, that flame is on and you have a blech that covers the whole stovetop, and you have a soup pot on that back left flame, so Rabbi Yashu suggested just move the pot over. You don't have to lift it, you don't have to do anything, just shove it over. You can keep your hands on it if you want, shove it over off the flame, spoon out whatever you want, and shove it back on, because as long as it's still going to be completely hot, it will be okay to return it back to on top of the fire, as long as it is still very hot. That was all review of last week. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh B'Dvarav. So the new topic that we're going to begin discussing now is the topics of blechs and hot plates. Before we get into the details, just one word of suggestion. What I'm saying now is not halacha. It's just suggestion, just to make life easier, less confusing, and avoid problems. When you're setting up your kitchen or your stove part, hot plate part of the kitchen on Friday afternoon, it is always advisable to always use a blech or hot plate, which is, we'll see how a hot plate is considered halachically. Always use a blech and always try to have your food cooked at least halfway, if not fully, before Shabbos. That's ideal. Again, what I just said is not halachic, it's a suggestion. You'll see now what the baseline halachas will be when you do need a blech, when you do not need a blech, what kind of foods can be left on, what kind of foods cannot be left on, what kind of foods can be left on an open flame on Friday afternoon, what kind of foods cannot be left on an open flame Friday afternoon. Let us begin. What we're going to talk now, we're going to discuss now, is what you're allowed to leave on the flame Friday afternoon going into Shabbos. This is called in Hebrew, Shehiyah. We are not talking about taking things off the flame and putting them back on. That's Chazar. That will be hopefully next week or 2 weeks from now. We are not talking about insulating, which is Hatmana. That's going to be 3 weeks plus from now. Now we're talking about Shehiyah, which is just maintaining. The literal definition of the word Shehiyah is Lishhot, to wait, to maintain, to let something just stay on a flame as Shabbos comes in. What could be the possible concern? You're not doing anything on Shabbos. You're not moving your hands. You're just leaving it on a flame from Friday afternoon. So to understand this, we have to go back in history and understand how cooking worked. Because cooking in the olden days was not like cooking today. Nowadays, when you cook, what do you cook with? It's not a trick question, what? An oven on a stovetop? What? Not electricity, unless you have a fancy electrical coil or, you know, there's glass top. What? We cook with fire. Right? Those two obvious that you thought I was trying to get something. No, I'm not out to get you. Sometimes. In the olden days, you did not cook with fire. How do I know that? Because when I was in 6th and 7th and 8th grade in Brooklyn, I was a member of the Boy Scout troop, Troop 611. Why was we not 613? Because 613 was taken by some other Jewish troop. And we were a Shomer Shabbos Boy Scout troop. And we had overnights, over weekends, and went to a place Friday afternoon. And we built an Erev on the campsite, and we cooked our foods on Erev Shabbos, and we did Shehiyah. And one of the things I learned as a Boy Scout, when you cook with a fire, with a bonfire, you do not cook with flame. The reason why you don't cook with flame is because flame burns the outside and doesn't cook the inside. Flame is not an even in its temperature. Flame does not reach high temperatures. Anyone who has a barbecue grill knows the same is true. You never cook with flames unless you want to char or burn or singe the outside of your burger, your burgers, your hot dogs. What do you want to? What's your aim when you're using a barbecue? You want coals. That's exactly different from the way we usually use our stovetops. We use flames. The flames that we have in our stovetops are very even, are very hot. That's why it's blue fire, not red fire. But in the olden days, they did not cook with fire. They cooked with coals. Why is that significant? Because, as you know, from whatever experience you might have with coals, little by little, die down. You could have a coal that is glowing for hours, if not days, right? When Avraham Avinu went for 3 days, and he took with him Ha'esh to bring his son Yitzchak as Akedas Yitzchak, he was not walking with a torch for 3 days. He was walking around with a little, I don't know, metal container that had a glowing coal in there, and that coal could glow for 3 days straight. That's why, of course, Smokey the Bear always says you have to make sure you, even after you put out the fire, you still have to feel that the coals are cold. Put your hand on it, bury it, make sure it's all there's no heat, because coals can stay hot and glowing even after the fire is out for many, many, many hours, even days. So since coals, little by little, they get less hot. I don't want to use the word extinguish because we're not talking about going to zero. We're talking about going to a lesser degree. So what do? We stoke them. That makes them, we give them oxygen, we poke them around, which I think is just another way of giving them oxygen. And that either gets the flames to go up, that gets the embers to raise their heat. So Chazal were concerned that, again, if this is the way we cooked 2,000 years ago in the time of the Mishnah, I have my oven with my coals that are cooking. On Friday afternoon, I don't touch it, I leave my pot of soup there. What might a person do? Chas v'shalom. They might forget themselves, they might lose track of whatever that's Shabbos today, or that they shouldn't, and they will inadvertently stoke the coals. And what is stoking the coals? Stoking the coals might not be a problem of Bishul per se, but stoking the coals is an independent and separate Isra Midaraisa of Havara, of lighting a fire, or causing a fire to burn more. So therefore, Chazal had this concern. Whenever you leave food on a flame, or better yet, on coals, from Friday afternoon, even though you're not doing any action on Shabbos, there's a Gzeru Midrabanan that says, we will not allow you to leave food sitting on these coals. That's the Isser called Shehiyah, maintaining food. Unless, says the Mishnah in the first parak of, I'm sorry, the first Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Shabbos, called Kira. Kira was an old-fashioned stove. You've heard the word Tanur. Tanur and a Kira are very similar. They're just modeled a little bit. They're just different in terms of how pointy the top is. The way the olden day stoves work, in the times of the Mishnah, going back 2,000 years, is picture an upside-down ice cream cone. On the bottom of that upside-down ice cream cone, you have a dugout wall that you could stick your hands in and reach the coals, to stick in more coals, to stoke the coals, and take the top few inches of the ice cream cone and slice it off, such that you could just sit a pot in that round circle in the top of that cylinder that's in front of you. That's called a kira or a tanur. Kira and tanur are just different in a small, how they're shaped, but otherwise, that's how cooking was done. So you had the coals on the bottom, and you had this cone-shaped, inverse cone-shaped structure on top of the coals that had a hole on top for you to sit a pot in, sometimes two pots in. That would be called a kirayim, a double kira. So the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Kira says that if you have your food sitting on top of a proper fire, or wood, big pieces of wood, chunks of wood, or logs, you're not allowed to leave it there on Friday, unless you do, says the Mishnah, ad sheyigrof, or ad sheyitein es ha'efer, until you shovel, or until you put ashes. What does that mean? It means you have to shovel out the coals. So what happens if you shovel out the coals? Well, you're not going to come to stoke coals on Shabbos if there aren't any coals there. So why are you leaving it there if there are no coals there? Because there is certainly residual heat left in this tanur, in this oven, left over for the coals that were there. How do I know that? Because I know that sometimes on Friday night, when we want to leave flames off, we don't need a hot plate, we don't need to have a blech. Sometimes I just leave food in the oven Friday afternoon. I turn it off right before I go to shul to mincha Friday afternoon, and the food stays hot because the residual heat that is kept inside are well insulated ovens. So they have the same thing. So you could shovel out the coals, and then you could leave your pot of food there as long as you want, all Shabbos long. We're not worried that you're going to stoke, because there's nothing to stoke. The Rishonim say that when the Mishnah allows you to leave things there when you shovel, it doesn't just mean shovel all the coals out, it also means if you shovel them to the side. Okay, so not shoveling the coals out, or shoveling them to the side. That also, we'll see why that will help. Then the Mishnah had a second suggestion, which is ad sheyitein es ha'efer, until you put the ashes. What does that mean? As we mentioned before, in order to have heat, in order to have glowing coals, you need oxygen. That's one of the things that you need, that one of the ingredients for flame. How do you cool something off? You take away its oxygen. So in the olden days, they would take the ashes from some other fire, sprinkle it over the coals. What does that do? Allows less oxygen to reach the coals, and therefore the coals will begin to die down. they'll get a little bit cooler. They won't be as inflammatory. So those suggestions that the Mishnah says, if you do this, what's the point of doing these two things? Well, Rashi says, if you do one of these two things, either you shovel the coals out or to the side, or secondly, you sprinkle ashes on top of these coals, Rashi says that's making it cooler. What's our whole concern? Our whole concern is the guy's going to come to the pot of cholent or the pot of soup Friday night and says, oh my gosh, how come it's not bubbling? It's not so hot, not as cooked as I liked it to be, and inadvertently they'll start stoking the coals. But if I did an action on Erev Shabbos that actually cooled off the coals, I did an action that did the opposite of what you were concerned that I'm going to do. So you think somebody who had the presence of mind Friday afternoon to do the inverse of something, he's going to do that the opposite of what he did Friday afternoon, meaning Friday afternoon, he did an act, he got up and did an act to cool something off. You're worried that that person will now on Shabbos inadvertently make it hotter? What do you mean? Just 2 hours ago, 4 hours ago, he or she did an act to make it cooler. So Chazal see, if somebody's thinking on Friday afternoon about cooling off the flame that he has, or the coals that he has, or she has, they don't have to be worried, Chazal don't have to be worried that on Shabbos someone will forget themselves to make the coals hotter, because they just did an act to cool it off. If we stop here, we're going to be in a little bit of trouble. Because the modern day ashes are what we call a blech. Or in Hebrew, a tas, tes samach. A metal plate. When we put a blech on a flame, we're doing exactly what the Mishnah said, sprinkle ashes on the coals. And just like sprinkling the ashes on the coals, the Mishnah says you're allowed to leave the soup or the pot sitting on top of the flame with those ashes that cooled off the coals. Because you did something on Erev Shabbos to cool it off, we're not worried you're going to inadvertently play with it on Shabbos. So we do the same thing with the blech. The Chazon Ish says, wait a second. Does a blech really cool off the heat? We could do an experiment. I have a flame that is 350 degrees. I put a blech on top. So is the heat that's coming through this blech to reach the bottom of my pot, is that going to be less than 350 degrees in a significant way? So we could do some experimentation, but the Chazon Ish says that's not really enough. And therefore, believe it or not, the Chazon Ish holds that blechs do not work. This whole concept called the blech of allowing you to leave something on a fire on Erev Shabbos, the way all you think has been done in Europe for all of history, the Chazon Ish says that concept doesn't exist. Because the whole reason that the Mishnah allowed you to leave something on a flame on Friday afternoon is that you cooled it off by dropping this ashes on the coals to stop the oxygen flow and cool them off. Blechs don't cool off fire. Do they spread the heat? Yeah. Do they disperse the heat evenly? Yeah. Do they prevent the flame from hitting something? Instead you have heat as opposed to flame? Yeah. It doesn't make it cooler though. Baruch Hashem, we do not pass like the Chazon Ish. All the posts can reject the Chazon Ish, and they say that the reason why the Mishnah allowed you to leave a pot after you sprinkled the coals is not because you got it cooler. It's not because you got it cooler. It's because you did an act that shows that you're aware that you're not going to be touching the coals. It's not the fact that we're interested in that you're cooling off the coals, because if that would be the case, well, a blech doesn't cool off coals, and therefore a blech wouldn't work. The other Rishonim argue on Rashi and say it has nothing to do with the sprinkling of the ashes. It has nothing to do with a cooling effect. It has to do with the fact that you did something to show that you're separating yourself from these coals. So how do you separate yourself from the coals? You can put up a mechitza, or a horizontal mechitza is a blech. You could sprinkle coals to separate between you and the coals. You could shove the coals into a back room on the side. You could remove them out. You're separating between yourself and the coals. I'm not going to touch these coals. I'm pushing them away from me. Conceptually, physically, and therefore, that's how we paskin. A blech does exactly that. How could you be worried that I'm going to play with the fire if I put a mechitza between myself and the fire? And therefore, we, of course, do use a blech. And we'll talk about hot plates. That's something much more modern. We'll talk about that perhaps at the end of today. But when do you need a blech? When are we worried that you're going to come to stoke the coals? Now here we have excuse me. It really is a question of how nervous are we that somebody's going to inadvertently forget themselves and start poking. So I'm going to ask you a question. Let's say you have a food that's 90% done. Are you going to play with the flame to make sure it cooks all the way? Let me ask you a different question. You have a food that's completely cooked. Are you going to play with the flame to make it really get soft? Let me ask you a different question. You have a food that's not yet cooked at all, and you want to serve it for dinner or for lunch tomorrow. Are you going to play with the flame so that you could get it cooked? Well, there are three different times that we just spoke about. We talked about something that is not yet fully cooked. Sorry, that is not even cooked at all. Not machal ben jersai. We talked about a stage that's not fully cooked. I talked about a stage that is fully cooked, but it's not soft as you'd like it. Let's talk about where are we most concerned that somebody's going to say, oh my gosh, I better get this going. When is that going to be? Let me be a little more dramatic. Okay, you invited 12 people for lunch tomorrow. Half of them you couldn't care less about, half of them you'd really like to impress. And the 12 people are coming for lunch tomorrow expecting, they heard wonderful things about your cooking abilities, and you want to show them that it's true. And you worked very hard Friday afternoon, you came home early, you left work early, and you got all the perfect ingredients, and you ground up your own pepper with your pepper mill, and you got fresh basil from Fairway down on 125th Street, and you have the perfect ingredients to create the perfect dish. But it's not cooked yet. So as you freak out, what do? You start stoking. That's where we're presumably most concerned, that it's not cooked, it's barely edible, if not edible at all. So where are you're gonna freak out and do whatever you need to do to make it, yes, cook. I'd be less concerned if something is 90% of the way there, and we just have to wait the extra 10%. It's almost cooked anyway. I'm a little less nervous. Where am I least nervous? I'm least nervous if it's fully cooked, edible, delicious. You're right, it would be nice if it's soft, if it's mushy, like challahs, the way we eat them on Shabbos morning after being in a pot for 20 plus hours. That's mushy. It's much more than fully cooked. Fully cooked happened after 6 hours. Shabbos challah that we eat is mushy, which is much more than fully cooked. So here, at which stage of these different stages that I just mentioned, were Chazal concerned that you might lose yourself for a minute, you might freak out, and stoke the coals? This is a machlokas in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, right after the Mishnah that I mentioned, the Maseches Shabbos. Chachamim say, we're worried all the way. Until you have your mushy challah, we're worried that you're going to lose yourself for a moment and play with the fire, play with the coals. Therefore, you're going to have this solution. If you want to leave a fire on Friday afternoon, say Chachamim, that food is going to have to be completely cooked before Shabbos, listen carefully, and fully mushy before Shabbos. Because otherwise you might come and play with the coals to stoke them, to get that mushy texture that you so desire. Unless, of course, you do whatever things that we talked about. You put up the machitza, blech, you sprinkle coals, you move them to the side, you sprinkle ashes, or you move the coals to the side. Then we're not worried. In other words, what Chachamim are saying is that you need a blech, even though it's edible, even though it's fully cooked, as long as it still could get better and improve, Chachamim are nervous that you might come to play with the coals. And that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that you need a blech, even if something is fully cooked, as long as it's getting better. What happens if it cooks more, it's going to get dried out? That's called mitztamek v'ralo. Mitztamek, it shrivels and gets worse and worse and worse. Well, then I'm not worried anyone's going to stoke the coals to make a higher flame because it's just going to worsen the food. So if, for example, this happens, I think, most often with beef. You have a roast. What happens when you get a roast more cooked? It dries out and it gets smaller. That's not ideal. So if it's a challah, you want softer, mushier. So there, the more it cooks, the better you are, the happier you are. If you have a roast, it's going to get drier, or even a roasted chicken, that's very well cooked. it's going to get drier, shrivel up, you're not happy about that. So once that, if you have already reached that point before Shabbos, you don't need a blech. You could leave your roast, you could leave your chicken that's fully cooked and already as dry as you'd like it to be on an open flame on Friday afternoon, because we're not worried that you're going to stoke it, because any stoking that you do to make it hot is just going to make your food worse. It's going to make it mitztamek, shrivel, viralo, and get worse. As opposed to that chalent, even after it's fully cooked, you want it to get mushier and mushier and mushier and softer and softer and softer. That's called mitztamek v'tovlo. As it shrivels, it gets tov, 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 better and better and better. And therefore, say chachamim, you cannot leave, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, you cannot leave a chalent, if you like soft chalents, on an open flame before Shabbos. Rather, you'll have to have this blech, or sprinkle the ashes, we'll talk about a blech, to prevent you from stoking the coals and forgetting yourself to improve it to get that softer texture that you're looking for. I just played a mind game with you. I said that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, which is true. But usually that's how I say that's the halacha. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. But we don't pasken like the Shulchan Aruch. Who do we pasken like? The Ramah. Ashkenaz, of course, pasken like the Ramah. And interestingly enough, here Sfaradim do as well. What I'm about to say is a leniency is a kula, and this is a kula, even though it's said by the Ramah against the Shulchan Aruch, this is, kula is both for Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Let me rephrase that. It's for Ashkenazim and Sfaradim as well. This is a different opinion in the Gemara, and this is the opinion of Chananya. Chananya says, we're not so paranoid like Chachamim that you're going to stoke the coals in all of those circumstances. Chananya says, I'm only worried that we're going to, Chazal, we're only worried that somebody's going to stoke the coals if it's not yet edible. If it's not edible, you want to make it edible. Oh, there you're going to lose yourself, there you'll freak out, and you'll stoke the coals. Once food is edible, we're not worried that you're going to inadvertently lose yourself, freak out, and stoke the coals. How do I say edible in Hebrew? Maichel ben drusai. Once it's at that minimal stage of eating, which is halakhically at the 50% cooking time mark, according to other opinions, it's the 33% cooking time mark. Let's assume, b'chatchila, once it's half cooked, that means if something takes 5 hours to cook, it has cooked already for 2.5 hours. So once it's 2.5 hours, it's cooked. On Friday afternoon, it's edible. It's not enjoyable. You would never serve it to guests that way. But if you're a guy like Ben Drusai, who is a gangster on the run, running away from the police, and your food was that cooked, you'd be willing to eat it because it's edible. So once your food is cooked, 2.5 hours, even though it normally needs 5 hours to cook, you can leave it on an open flame on Friday afternoon, and this is how we pasken halacha l'maisa. So therefore, let's give a few examples. I have a soup that takes 2 hours on high to fully cook. I get home from work 1.25 hours before Shabbos. So I have 15 minutes to make my soup. I peel all the potato, I peel all the carrots, I peel the sweet potatoes, I cut, throw in the chicken, put in my spices. I start boiling with 1 hour left till Shabbos. When Shabbos comes in, it's 50% cooked. At that point, I can leave it on an open flame on Shabbos. I do not have to have a blech. I do not have to leave it on. I can leave it on an open fire. No blech is needed, no ashes are needed, and that is how we pasken. Any questions about this point? No questions. Okay. Is it curious to you that I said that we pasken, that we Ashkenazim and Sfaradim also, the Ramah paskens like Chananya against Chachamim? Who do we usually follow? Whenever there's a machlokas of Chachamim against Mr. So-and-so. We follow majority rule, right? We follow Rov. Acharei Rabim Lahatos. Whenever there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, whenever there's a machlokas in the Gemara, it's Chachamim against Mr. So-and-so. Almost invariably, we pass like Chachamim. How come here we're passing like Chananya, who is Mekon, says, we're only nervous, we only require you to have a blech if it's not yet edible. But once it's edible, leave it on an open flame. Listen to this beautiful, beautiful rush. Rush, one of the Rishonim says that, I wish I had the words, I have a few of the words that he says, the Jewish people cling so dearly to the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. How could we be machmir? What do I have? I have a machlokas. Chachamim or Machmer say you always need a blech. You can never leave food on an open flame. And Hanani is making and says, once it's edible, do whatever you want to do. So Chachamim are making my life more difficult when it comes to eating food, eating my Shabbos food. And says to us, B'nai Yisrael Adukim, they adhere to Mitzvahs Onik Shabbos, how could we be Mekel? I'm sorry, how could we be Machmir? We love doing the Mitzvah Onik Shabbos, we love eating food so much, how could we be Machmir? Very unusual. We don't find that kind of logic in the poskim. Like, how should I poskim? Well, I love eating so much, how could we possibly be Machmir on this? It's very emotionally laden. Psak, and Psak usually doesn't run itself by emotions. So there's actually a question. What did the Rosh mean when he said that? He means that, oh really, we should be Mako. Or is he meaning, you're right, we should really be Machmir. But, you know, just, it's hard for us because we love Mitzvah Onik Shabbos, so we're Mako because we just need to be, but we really shouldn't be. In other words, let me give you a very specific question, a very specific scenario, and we'll ask what Rosh is saying. I have a challenge that I put up 2 hours before Shabbos, as you probably did last week, or 3 hours before Shabbos. So it's half cooked. You want to just be able to leave that challenge on without a blech. I don't even know, how am I going to put a blech on my crock pot? We're not going to even talk about today at all. Could you put a blech on a crock pot? According to what I'm saying, it's a machlokas. If your food is half cooked, according to Hananya, we Ashkenazim, and Sfaradim also, Lamaisa, we're going to say that half cooked before Shabbos, great, leave it on the fire. Chachamim are going to say, no, you're not going to be able to leave it on a fire. You're going to have some kind of blech. You don't have a blech, so don't leave it on the fire. So comes the Rosh and says, we're going to be Mekel. Why are we going to be Mekel? Because Jews love challah. Last week we talked about how eating challah brings you to Olam Haba. Those of you who missed that, you can listen to last week's shir. We're not saying it's bringing you to Olam Haba. We're just saying Jews like food. We love the Mitzvah Onik Shabbos, so therefore we can't be Machmir. So maybe that really means, this is how the Chazon Ish understands, I'm sorry, this is how the Be'er Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah's Be'er Halacha understands, that no. Of course we should follow Chachamim. Like we always follow Chachamim. Chachamim are Machmir and say, we're always worried that you're going to stoke the coals. Even if it's edible, even if it's fully cooked, even if it's getting better and better, we're always worried you're going to stoke the coals. That's really how we should pass. We should be Machmir like Chachamim. What can we do? You know, we need to be Mekel on this. So the Be'er Halacha therefore says that one should be Machmir to always use a blech in all circumstances, because really you should be Machmir. However, the Chazon Ish says, no. What the Rosh is saying is that, what is the whole concern that we are concerned about? That you're going to stoke coals? No, we're not really concerned that you're going to stoke coals. We're concerned about what is the Isser D'Rabbanan called, don't leave food on an open flame, lest you stoke a coal. Meaning we're talking about an Isser D'Rabbanan here. And it's machlokas on an Isser D'Rabbanan. So it's a safek on a D'Rabbanan. So we could be Mekel, and especially we have the right to be Mekel if, you know, if there's reason to this, a Mitzvah Onik Shabbos. And therefore it's lechatchila to be able to be Mekel in this question, in other words, and be able to leave my chalent on the open fire or leave it in the crock pot once it's half cooked. That will be the leniency. And it's lechatchila. So halacha l'maaseh, without getting into chumras, again, it is lechatchila as a chumrah, it is better to always have a blech. But me'ikar hadin, the halacha, the bottom line halacha is that once something is half cooked, it does not need a blech. And therefore, once your crock pot, once your challah is half cooked, you do not need to have any blech. And again, if it's not half cooked before Shabbos, then we'll have to talk about at some point how do you allow your crock pot to stay on your crock pot if you didn't have enough time to let it get to Michael Ben Jerusalem before Shabbos, which let's assume will be 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. Yes. Yes, I mean an oven also. Yes. Oven that's on, correct. If the oven is off, you're allowed to leave stuff in there because that's the same thing as taking the coals and shoveling them out. But if the oven is on, that would be the same thing. Just like you can't leave something on an open... Whenever you cannot leave something on an open flame, you cannot leave something in an oven that is lit. when you are allowed to leave something on an open flame, you will be allowed to leave something in an oven that's lit. There's a totally separate problem. You're never going to be able to open the door. If it goes off on a Shabbos clock. So you're saying if you have an oven that's on a Shabbos clock, a timer, that itself is a good shaila. Should you have an oven on a timer? Well, let's say you have an oven on a timer. What? So it's going to be. So let's just back up for a minute. In general, if I have, let's assume I have food. I'm allowed to. Let's say I have food that's fully cooked. Everyone holds fully cooked, then it's going to get worn out. The more you leave, it's not worn out. It's going to get shriveled up and get worse. Everyone holds this is allowed to stay on an open fire. I have a roast in the oven. It's shriveled up. Did you ever buy a roast? You know, one of those $50, $60 roasts that your mother buys for Yontif? And it's good and big and it looks delicious. And then you put it in the oven and 2.5 hours later, you open the oven and you're wondering, where's that roast I put in here? And there's a little small brown ball in the corner like, that was $60 of brisket? Where'd the rest of it go? So we've all had that happen to us. So you have that sitting in your oven. Typically, without getting to Shabbos clocks, the oven is on has a sensitive thermostat, so to stay at 350 degrees, 375. When you open the oven, cool air comes in. An oven, when you have 350, that doesn't mean that the fire is always on. It means the fire goes on and off to maintain a static temperature of 350. Let's say the oven right now is off, because it could stay off for a few minutes to save gas and still maintain the heat of 350. By you opening the oven door, cold air rushes in, and quickly the temperature gauge realizes that it's not 350, it's only at 300, at 290, and it's going to turn on the flame. So that was certainly asr, asr daraisa d'rabbanan, that we could talk about, certainly asr, and therefore practically you can never leave, you can never open an oven on Shabbos, that is when the oven is on. So you're asking, well, let's say you leave it in for, you have a scenario that your oven will go off. Let's say you're eating dinner at, coming home, your husband will come home from shul at 8 o'clock. So you have the oven flame, you'll have the oven turn off at 7:55 p.m. So by 8 o'clock, there's no flame to talk about. You're not going to cause anything to be ignited. Power's off. So then, yes, the halach would be that once something is machal ben jusai before Shabbos, you'll be able to leave it in that oven with the flame on Shabbos. Maker had there. Yes. How does Shabbos mode work? If you ask the Rabbanim in our yeshiva, they will ask a different question. They will say, does Shabbos mode work? Right, so there are different kinds of Shabbos. The Shabbos mode oven that a lot of people talk about is based on. We won't go into that right now. That's a sheer unto itself. In general, Shabbos mode ovens, the Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva University do not approve of. Rav Heinemann from the Star K in Baltimore does. He engineered it, but the Rabbanim and Yeshiva University in general do not approve of the typical use of Shabbos ovens. But that's not a sheer for now. Okay. Let me share with you a shaila that I got a few feet away from here, right behind me. Right after davening at a kiddush 2 months ago, one of the boys in yeshiva asked the following question. Friday afternoon, he got home from wherever he was, let's say 20 minutes before Shabbos. He was having guests, of course, for Shabbos afternoon for lunch. He quickly threw a challah together, turned it on, and his challah was cooking. And he didn't touch it, chas v'shalom, he didn't touch it, he didn't change anything, he didn't adjust anything. He had his challah cooking on Shabbos. At some point he realized that it was not even half cooked before Shabbos. It had not yet even reached Machal Ben Jusay. And there was no blech. Well, we didn't really talk about how to make a blech for a crock pot. But let's assume, for argument's sake, maybe we'll talk about it more by Rikas a different time, you line the interior of the pot, meaning between the encasement and the crock pot that you're putting into that encasement, you line that entire area, all the walls, both the bottom and the entire circular cylindrical perimeter, you line that with aluminum foil, and the aluminum foil is sticking out, so it's noticeable. Let's assume that's called a blech. Yes, let's say that is what a blech is for a crock pot. Lining aluminum foil, the interior of a blech. So more, it's a longer discussion. We talked about that in our crock pot series 2 years ago. But for now, he came over to me and says, and told me, Rabbi Orlian, I made a shalant 20 minutes before Shabbos, and I didn't line the inside of the crock pot, so there's no blech, and it did not reach Machal Ben Jusai. So what does that add up to? He violated this Issur D'Rabbanan called Shehiya, maintaining an uncooked food on a fire. And Chazal, in such a situation, would be concerned that he would stoke it. So whether he stoked it or not, he violated the Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiya. Now, my friends, what happens, b'di'eved, if somebody did violate the Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiya? Here we see something very unusual. In general, we assume that the Oraisas are more severe, the Rabbanans are more lenient. This area of halacha is one situation where it's the exact inverse. If a person does the Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiya b'shogeg, by mistake, she didn't realize, Chazal made a knas, a fine on that person, and that food is not edible on Shabbos. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, that person will not have been able to eat his chalent. He didn't touch it on Shabbos. He set it up Friday afternoon, 20 minutes before Shabbos. Not kosher. Because he violated this Issur D'Rabbanan called Shehiya. After Shabbos, if he waits the amount of, that's an excellent question. That question applies whenever there's a violation of halacha on Shabbos and the food is there for us to eat on Shabbos. In general, it's a little bit complicated, but in general, once the amount of time elapses on Saturday night, such that you didn't gain from the fact that the melacha was done for you on Shabbos, meaning, let's say you saved yourself 2 hours of whatever because something was done on Shabbos, so after those 2 hours would have been waited Saturday night, it would be mutter to eat Saturday night. In this case, he violated, you know, let's say 8 hours of cooking, so he might have to wait a lot of hours after Shabbos. It's hard to figure out exactly in this scenario, but yes, it would be mutter certainly by Sunday. He could have it for Sunday lunch, Sunday dinner, like I do. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. I think I mentioned before that in my family, not my wife's family, it's all me. Shalom goes till Thursday night when you have to clean it out for the next week. My wife doesn't like it after Tuesday, but you know, I try to, I'm the one who eats it anyway, and I'm willing to eat it till Thursday, so I eat it till Thursday. In terms of the specific, let me give you one other just scenario again, which is a very possible scenario. Well, the reason why the case I just illustrated is so significant is because when people think crock pots, they don't think blechs. When they think stovetops, they think blechs. They think tin plates. They think whatever they think. But when you think about a crock pot, you don't think about a blech. That's why so many people use a crock pot, which is fine because oftentimes you don't need a blech. But when is it okay to just leave your crock pot in your crock pot? That's if it's at least cooked k'machal ben jusai before Shabbos, half-cooked before Shabbos, which we say l'chadchil should be half-cooked. So again, even though we do cook our chalent for 20 hours on Shabbos, if you ever look, I once looked at a slow cooker recipe book. They don't call crock pots, they call them slow cookers. Crock pot is a brand name, not a generic term for this item. So slow cooker cookbooks, almost all the recipes had 6 to 8 hours on low. So I assume that's a vishal called tzarko. So machal ben jusai would be half of that. Let's say 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours. So on these early Shabbats, when Shabbos starts at 4:30, most people do not have their chalents up and cooking by 1:30, especially if you have a job or you have school on Friday morning. So therefore, if it's not going to be half cooked by the time Shabbos comes in, you must, according to all opinions, have a blech on your crock pot, which, as we explained a moment ago, covering the entire interior of the crock pot with aluminum foil. Not only that, but also allowing the aluminum foil to protrude a little bit so that there's a hecker to your eyes, because of course you don't want, we're worried about what you're going to see. You have to be reminded by your vision as you're about to, God forbid, go play with something or adjust something. You're reminded by that visual, not a mechitza that's separating you, but at least that visual mark of the protruding aluminum foil to tell you, stay away, don't touch me. One other example of this, which is not going to be as stark or as startling or as important, because when you think of stovetops, we all think of blechs. If you leave a pot of soup, let's say your pot of soup needs 3 hours to cook, and it cooked for an hour before Shabbos, you can't leave it on an open fire. If you leave it on an open fire, since it has not yet cooked halfway, so even though it might be ready by the time you come home from shul and have it, it's not going to be kosher for you to eat, because you violated the Issur D'Rabbanan of Shehiyah. Therefore, make sure your soup will, you can just have a blech. That will solve your problem. Or if you don't want a blech, but you don't have a blech, then let's say you're at a hotel, and you're making Shabbos in New Hampshire, you're making Shabbos in Vermont, you're making Shabbos in the Cayman Isle, wherever you are for Shabbos. So you don't have it, there are pots, well, they're not kosher anyway. It's fine, you brought your own pots, but you didn't bring a big blech. You didn't think to bring a big blech. Well, you could have thought to bring a small blech. Just get a little piece of tin, I don't know from where, but get a little piece of tin that, if not covering the whole, all four burners, it could at least cover one burner. It's just, I don't know, five inches by 5 inches square. That's probably enough, 6 inches at most by 6 inches, and just pack it into your maybe not your carry-on because they'll get nervous, but pack it into your luggage, and that should be fine. Okay, but you're in Kentucky and you forgot to bring a blech with you. So you have to make sure that you come wherever you plan on going for your Friday afternoon trip. Make sure you get home back to the hotel time enough that your food will be at least 50% cooked before Shabbos. Let's finish. Yeah, question.
Yeah, if you have a knob,
excellent question. Let's talk about the knobs right now. Taking off the knob, will that be sufficient? There are two sides to your question. One way to ask the question is, when you have a blech, do you have to cover the knobs also? The opposite question is it enough for you only to cover the knobs and not cover the flame itself? So, the poskim, Rabbi Yashar, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, both say that if you have a blech, you only need to cover the flame. There's no requirement to cover the knobs as well. So if you have, let's say, a stovetop, it just has to be a flat piece. It doesn't have to have a lip or a 90 degree angle that comes down and covers the knobs. It is a chatzchil. It's a great idea. I suggest it because, again, the olden days, how do they adjust the coals? By poking them. How do we adjust our equivalent to that? By turning knobs. So it makes sense to not have the knobs available to you. So it's nice. It's lechatchila to cover the knobs also, but mi'ikar hadin, a blech only needs to cover the flames. What about the opposite? Is it enough to just cover the, we said that if you're covering the flame, you don't need to cover the knobs. But does it work the opposite way? Could you just cover the knobs and therefore that will take away the need to cover the flame itself? Because it's much easier to cover a knob. You know what you do? Take a piece of aluminum foil, very small one, tear off a piece of aluminum foil, and just stick it onto the knob and let it conform, shape it for 20 seconds so that it conforms to the, so it won't fall off, conforms to the shape of the knob, and you covered your knobs. That's very easy. It's a lot easier to do that. You could do that in your hotel room in Kentucky, even if you didn't bring a piece of tin to cover the stovetop. Is that sufficient? So if Aaron Cutler, Zatzal, the Rashiv of Lakewood, holds that it is sufficient because the concern is that you're going to come to stoke the coals. I should actually mention that phrase that Chazal used of that we're concerned you might stoke the coals, because that phrase will be significant as we go in the next week or two. Shema yechateh v'gichalim. Lest the person will yechateh, will stoke v'gichalim in the coals. So Rav Aaron Cutler, Zatzal held, well, you can't stoke your flame how do we stoke our flames? By playing with the knobs. If you have that reminder on the knobs, or you can't get to the knobs, and the knobs are removed, that did the job. And we're not worried that you're going to change the flame, you're going to adjust the flame. You have the reminder on the knobs. Or you can't adjust the flame because you took off the knobs. However, everyone else rejects Rav Aaron Cutler's kula. Rav Moshe Feinstein and all the poskim do not accept that kula and say no. Just like in the Mishnah that we spoke about half an hour ago towards the beginning of this year, the Mishnah spoke about making some indication on the heat source itself. Sprinkling ashes on the coals. Taking the coals and shoving them to the side or shoveling them out. There the heker, the indication, the demonstration that you did, the change that you did on Friday afternoon was on the coals themselves, on the heat source. And therefore, if we want to copy that model of the Mishnah, that concept of sprinkling ashes or shoveling on coals, we want to imitate that with our blech, so we have to do it in the way the Mishnah illustrated it to us, which is doing something to the heat source. And it's not sufficient to just cover the knobs. And therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, Rav Moshe Feinstein and the rest of the poskim say if you just take off the knobs or just cover the knobs, that does not constitute a blech, that is not sufficient to leave something on an open flame with only the knobs covered. Just last week, I happened to hear a shir. I didn't happen to hear a shir. I knew that I was giving a shir on this topic. And Rav Schechter Shlita was giving a shir on this topic, so I specifically went to hear Rav Schechter discuss it to see how he presented it. And he actually said that since it's a machlokas, and the whole question that we are concerned with is an isid rabbanan of shehiyah, again, stoking the coals, that's the raisa of making fire. But we're just worried, we're saying you're not even allowed to leave a pot in a place where you might come to stoke coals. That is only isid rabbanan. Since it's an isid rabbanan, and there's machlokas, so b'shas adchak, like maybe if you're in Kentucky, and you don't have your, you don't have anything to cover this stovetop, then perhaps one can rely on the iron cutler's kula and only remove the knobs or just cover over the knobs, and that will be sufficient. We'll finish with this. And next week, we're going to talk about leaving. All we talked about tonight were stovetops. Next week, we'll begin to discuss platas. After we talk about leaving things on platas, on hot plates on Friday afternoon, we're going to talk about either the end of next week or the following week, the most important discussion, and that's talking about putting cold foods to warm up on Shabbos. How do we do that? Any questions?